Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Reading from the song that's about to be sung, the second stanza. Jesus, what a strength and weakness. Let me hide myself in Him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, He my strength, my victory wins. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me. To the end.
Oh,
Reading today from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's give thanks for this message, the message to call us to faith in Christ, the message to call us to repentance before God. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come asking and giving thanks in His name, giving thanks for all that has been given, and especially Thy giving Christ, asking also that we might have the Holy Spirit to give us the new birth, to lead us into all truth, to make us to be new creatures in Christ, all the different blessings that we receive by the Spirit, applying the Word, convicting and saving, and all the other fruits of the Spirit and the blessings that are given through Christ and because of Him. And we ask, Father, for what is needed now in the church to revive it, even to awaken it. As some of the churches were told, awake thou that sleepest, with the promise that thou, Lord Jesus, would give light and would give life. And we pray for that today. We pray that we might hear thy voice of chastening and rebuking, and that we will then open the door, and thou hast promised, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. We pray, Father, that we may come away from our pride, our thinking we are rich and in need of nothing, that we might know our true condition in our day, poor, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, sadly, the church as well as the world, in our nation, coming to such poverty, such lack of love, obedience, blessing. We give thanks for blessings that still remain, but we fear, Father, that they could be taken away from us, even as other nations have experienced, Jews particularly, having thy judgments fall upon them, when they were so blessed, being given thy word, being given the prophets, and given Christ, born in their midst, born of the seed of Abraham. And we pray, Father, that because of him, thou wilt now awaken us and revive us. Make the church the salt and the light, both in our nation and all other nations as well. We pray, Father, for our homes. We pray for those in sickness, injury. We pray for the elderly. We pray, Father, for the children in the broken homes. Pray for those in hunger, the homeless, the suffering in the war-torn lands, the terribleness of many being taken captive and slaves of those that killed their husbands, all these terrible things that have happened. We pray, Father, that we may have in our nation what is needed, that we might still continue to lead a quiet and peaceable life. We pray that especially that in the next elections that come, that we might choose those that have the fear of thee, and those that will do right, not those that will do more evil, and take us further and further away from the faith of our fathers. We ask it all through Christ. Amen. as we look once again at these words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus, words of instruction, words that give so clearly the gospel, the Lord Jesus describing himself both as the Son of Man and as the Son of God, declaring to us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Verse 16, that well-known verse. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There are those who actually teach, and sadly there are many, that have written in the book they believe, that those who believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God are cursed. A terrible thing to declare such a lie when the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He is one with the Father. He was there before the foundation of the world with the Father. And those that are saved were chosen in him before the world was made. And then we read as well that God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he made the worlds. So first, those who are God's children, chosen in him, planned already before he made the world, and then through Christ, made the world as we have it, made it, declared it, to come into existence, simply by speaking. The first thing, let there be light. And then each thing, and 6 days, and finally, creating man and woman, male and female, made he them. The wonder of it. As the psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God. When we think of John 3:16, we think of preaching the gospel so people will be saved. And that is true. It's right. The Lord Jesus said to preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is part of God's way, part of God's message. But also, we must realize that we must do what we do. And we are here to give God glory. When the Lord Jesus taught us to pray to our Father who art in heaven, he stated, hallowed be thy name. He also gave warning in his holy law that those who take his name in vain will be punished. They will not be held guiltless that takes his name in vain. And there are many that are doing that today. I just read yet today, and I read a short time ago, of those who are proud of their resistance, as they call it. Resistance against those that God has put into power. And Paul wrote about that later. The Lord Jesus spake about rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's and what is God's. Both, rightly. We are to do that. We are to hallow God's name. We are to give him glory. We are to repent of anything that we have not agreed with God. Anything we have not submitted to God in. And also, those that God has put in authority. Parents, children, honor your father and your mother. Servants, obey your masters. And those in authority in government, Paul writing to the church at Rome, states very clearly that there are no powers that be, but are not ordained of God. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. And then the strong warning, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Those that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. This is God's word through the pen of Paul, and it's God that will give that damnation. Won't be Paul doing it. It won't be the church doing it, even though the church has done some foolish things in killing those that disagreed or were disobedient to the church and its own teaching, its own ways. many times wrongly, sometimes punishing, killing those that were better than themselves, more right. This has been done through the ages, and it's been a sad commentary on the church. It has kept some people from believing the Word of God and believing the gospel, stating the church killed, the church fought. And sadly, true. It is then a result of not having the gospel. If we could stop at verse 16 of John chapter 3, and not only would sinners no longer perish, but they would be made new creatures in Christ. They, having His Spirit, would then begin to obey the Word, to hallow God's name, to love Him, not fully as we should, but there will be a principle of love, because He first loved us, and He will give us the Spirit of Christ so we can begin to love God, so we can begin to love our neighbor. The Lord Jesus, giving the parable of the sower, showing the word being sowed, the message being given, the result of it, speaks of the good ground that brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. 30 is a small measure of what it should be. But I'm certainly afraid that the church is there today at best, 30-fold rather than 60 or 100, where we should be. As Christ said, be ye perfect. But the church has its beginning by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved, as Paul said to the Philippians yonder, and as Christ ordered it to be preached, the gospel, to every creature. And I repeat again what I said before, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, along with the warning, he that believeth not shall be damned. But what if we don't believe? What if we're left in a natural condition? First, let's listen to what Christ said in the 17th verse of this third chapter. For God sent not His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I was speaking to a person that is an unbeliever, professing not to believe the Bible, doesn't care to read the Bible, and he said that he thinks I'm telling him of God's anger. And in one way, that's true, but I'm giving him the message so he will know God's love and be saved. When I go to him, I don't go that he'll be condemned. I go that he will be saved. As Christ said, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Yes, those that don't believe will be damned. But that isn't why we preach the Word. We preach it with the hope that those that hear it will be saved. That is the goal of preaching the gospel. That is why we pray and preach. And that is why God sent His Son into the world. Yes, He will come again and judge, and then those that haven't believed will be condemned, but only because of their own doing. God is not going to send Christ till the gospel has been preached to every nation, and that may well be being fulfilled in our time more than ever before. Over the airwaves, it can reach into every home today. People that have the means can hear the gospel in every part of the world, more than when I was younger. Then we talked about the heathen, the dark continent, having never heard the gospel. Now, every place it can reach, the airwaves, and much of it by the printed page that certainly couldn't be done 1,000 years before today, when 1,000 years and plus that printing wasn't known. Today, the Bible is available all over, every place. I've been to India. It's as easy to get there as it is here. Some people in Africa want it because they can't afford it, but it's available, the Word of God. We need to continue to pray that God will send laborers into the fields that are white under the harvest, where the laborers are few. There are those areas, and sadly, our own country, is getting more and more that way. There's people that I speak to today on the radio that tell me they can't find a church within driving distance that preaches the whole counsel of God. Less and less. Some of the early churches that were here with our pilgrim forefathers and following that, today people are leaving it by the thousands. They say the word is no longer preached. Some go to different denominations. Some, sadly, leave the church entirely. We are a nation in trouble. I say it again, we are a nation in trouble. We need the gospel. We need the power of the gospel bad, very badly. Our government needs it. We as a people need it. Our government is what it is because of what we are as a people. We have voted in those that are wrong in many areas. We can be thankful for the government that we still have. I can say that I really didn't vote for those that were on the ballot. I voted against the worst ones on the ballot. And I would do the same again. I don't want the worst ones in. I don't want the murderers in. I don't want those that will kill the unborn and want it done more and more. I just read lately that one part of our country has a worse platform concerning the unborn than ever before. But that's where we are. Some might even say, I believe in the Lord Jesus. But they don't believe His word. They don't believe the gospel in its power. And we need to come to that. There are those who still complain about our present government. But I'm glad the complainers aren't in power. What would that be like? Anarchy. They're like the people described in the Bible. Lewd men. Doing terrible damage. Awful things happening. And we can just be thankful it's not worse. For those of us who have believed the gospel, are settled in it, how we need to pray for the rest of the nation. And if we don't have that right ourselves, then we have to do like the Lord Jesus said to the apostles, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The church needs that. We need revival. As I said before, we need awakening. Awakening to the fullness of the gospel of Christ, as it's given here. And then we need awakening. If we are truly saved, we have been awakened to what we are in our natural condition. And Christ speaks of that after he says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why are we condemned without Christ? First of all, we can have the answer in verse 15 and 16, without the gospel, we will perish. He that believeth shall not perish. It's a description of the gospel coming to a perishing people. In verse 18, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We are literally living in a house on fire. If we don't want that which can put the fire out, we're doubly condemned. We're condemned by the law of God, and we're condemned if we don't want to receive the gospel as lawbreakers. And that's what we are. We are lawbreakers. We do not want to obey the commandments of God. Part of them as the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, some of them are positive, like the children, obey your parents. But many of them are, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. All of those God forbids. But there is also a very positive teaching in the law of God. And as when Christ was asked, what is the first and great commandment? he gave the summary, particularly of the first part of the commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And then he added, the second is like unto it. And that encompasses the last part of the Ten Commandments. We might call it the second table. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is our nation doing that? Have those that voted for others that are in power loving their neighbors themselves, hoping the best for them? No. We won't submit to what God has given. Instead, there's a resistance that will end with damnation. That's what God says. They shall receive to themselves damnation. And if God allows it, he may bring damnation on the whole nation for our resistance to him. Yes, it's first of all to him. God has put those in power. The present leadership, the last leadership, I certainly didn't agree with the last leadership that we had. Again, particularly in so many ways of marriage and the unborn, got worse and worse. But we had to submit, those of us who didn't agree. We had to wait on God for something better, something more helpful in those areas. And God has given us that. We should be thankful. We are to give thanks and to make supplication for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. That's Paul's instruction to Timothy. And the only answer, we can only do it through the gospel. The Lord Jesus said just before his death, without me you can do nothing. That's so true, so true, so true. And that's why I need Christ and more of Christ, and so do you. Beg him. Do like the little song says, Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Listen once more to some of the words of that song that were sung. The fourth stanza, Jesus, what a guide and keeper. While the tempest still is high, storms about me, night o'ertakes me, he, my pilot, hears my cry. Yes, the storm is in the night sometimes. We can't see. We can't see if there's help coming. But the Lord Jesus knows the night as well as the day. He, my pilot, hears my cry.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise